Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
It's got quite a bit of traffic around the corner from the studio, man. Some giant truck was blocking up the street.
Traffic blocking.
I don't know the rest of the words. What comes after that line?
Hang on.
Traffic. Da-na-na-na.
Girl, I come down in a tighter stocking. Sorry. Majority is that walking, yeah. I can't remember word for word.
I can't.
Something so, like that.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
Google the lyrics.
Traffic blocking. Gala come dung in our tights and stocking.
Oh.
Watch our hairstyle.
There you go.
Watch our hairstyle. Whopping. And the dress code ever shocking.
Shocking.
Serious thing.
Oh, tights and stocking. For some reason, I always thought it was tighter stocking.
Bro, we need to do an episode that just talks about the lyrics in Bashment and Reggae songs.
There's some great drill songs that need the lyrics discussed. There's some pause moments, some ultimate pause moments in drill.
Yeah, it's...
There's one, I can't even remember what song it is, but he talks about touching kids. But what he's talking about is stabbing people, but he says about touching kids. It's like, huh?
Hold on a minute.
It's like, pardon? Did you take it there?
Well, yeah, it's like, it's almost as bad as when my guy brought out that Michael Jackson drill song.
Who was that? Pounds.
Was it Pounds? Smooth, yeah. Criminal.
Yes, Pounds.
Rough. It's an interesting time for drill.
Oh,
right,
mate.
Now it's commercialized, right? So is it the cool thing to shout about anymore or what? Like, I wonder what the actual street kids think of this current situation.
Pop music now, isn't it? It is mainstream music, but the thing is, the fan base has shifted as well. So it's not just drillers. Yeah, it's not just hood music now. You've got like middle class white girls doing TikToks to it. Do you know what I mean? Like 13-year-old white girls doing TikTok videos to a drill song that's number one. So it's not just inner city street music anymore. It's not where like, and like, for example, just the go-to one, like Giggs Talking the Hardest was a road rap anthem. But then not all of Giggs' music is now for the streets, isn't it? Because the fan base shifted. The fan base grew because of that moment. Yeah, it's interesting to see the evolution of drill. Because the thing is as well, there's still also like, there's still that proper, like there's still some underground artists making proper stab you to death drill.
The guy said proper stab you to death drill. No.
That's what they're rapping about, bruv. Stabbing people. So
it's been interesting playing like bars the last couple of weeks, and like you're playing like Body Oddy and that, and like man are like trying to do all this TikTok shit, like sat at the table. So it's just like the top half of them. and then nothing below the table because these man can't stand up. Like it's hella weird, bruv.
I called it, bruv. I did call it, didn't I? I said when clubs open again, the TikTok dance routines are going to be happening on the dance floor.
It's actually, do you know what? Yeah, it's mad because, to be fair, we're pretty good at predicting shit on here.
Yeah,
we've nailed loads of stuff, bruv. The TikTok stuff is legitimately happening hard, like in the club. I don't know how I feel about it, man. But
you know what? I don't.
I'm not against it, bro.
No, but it is.
I'm not going to hate on these kids. Like, you got to get it in, but the concept of it is weird to me.
Yeah, the only thing I'd be against is if they're doing it. If they're doing it just for fun, then that's amazing. If you've and you're going to do it for fun, that's cool. Like, however you want to dance, we're having fun. That's why we're there. But I just don't want it to turn into like what the Snapchat generation did and the first 15 seconds of every song be super lit while everyone's doing their little dance routines.
Bro.
And then as soon as the dance routine ends, they just stop and stand still for the whole rest of the song. That's what I don't want to happen.
Body yoddy. Yeah.
I can't relate.
No, that's what it does. Outside of that hype part of the song, whatever it says, I don't even know. No, the drill song.
Oh, but no, I thought you were talking about the Megan Thee Stallion one.
No, I'm talking about Body, man. The
Body, yeah. Russ and Tia went,
That song does that.
No, I disagree.
It has that little moment. Well, it might be different down there because, like, you're in Drill Central, innit? So, but up here, that little bit, like, pops, and then everyone just kind of goes, and there's the energy just depletes, man. Like, when are we gonna? When Amanda's gonna vibe to whole songs, yo?
Yeah, it's
everything's so short lived now, isn't it? Like, even when I'm mixing, I'll do like. I'll mix out after like a verse and a chorus most times because most men might not have even heard. I've not heard the second or third verse of some songs.
I can't lie. The body remix, the way the RD's bit went so viral, that's dominated the whole rest of the song. I can't even remember who else is on the remix, if I'm honest.
It is. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were looking it up then. That's why I gave you room.
I actually just got a message about a booking.
All right. Cha-ching. So how have you found doing the bookings anyway? Because I've done...
Wayne, RD, E1, ZT. Fucking Z... What? A1, ZT, DT, ABC,
Element of P.
Lemon Opera.
Oh yeah, I forgot Bugsy was on it.
Bugsy Malone, Darku. There's quite a few, bruv.
I didn't know Darku was on it. I forgot Bugsy was on the remix. In my opinion, that was a wasted verse.
Yeah. Well, Bugsy's one.
Yeah,
that's not even his thing, innit? Like, I know Bugsy. I reckon that was just because it's the hype anthem, innit? I'll throw 16 on there.
Possibly. I know he's got a project coming in it, so it's probably just to get his name buzzing again and that. But good look for them all anyway. A drill number one.
It's a massive look, and it just shows like there's no rules of what can chart now, innit? And I also think it shows who's actually really buying these records. Like the kids are dominating these charts, man, with streaming.
This is exactly what I've said before, brother. And this...
Are adults really tapping in like that? Are they really buying music off iTunes? Are they really streaming up on Spotify? I'm not sure they are. I feel like the new gen are blitzing it.
You cannot deny now that without TikTok, this song wouldn't have been number one. So we've spoken about it before. The music that can be played in the club. But now we've really reached a point where TikTok is influencing the musical trend nationwide, outside the club, on the radio, in the charts. TikTok got the song to number one.
I swear we predicted this shit last year.
We did.
See what I'm saying?
So,
I just put my charger in one.
So the crazy thing is, with it being TikTok, it makes me wonder what the age demographic is of the people that are now dictating which music is big. Because let's just say it's like 13, 14 and 15 year olds that are predominantly on TikTok, which I think pre-pandemic was probably a fair estimate. I think that age is probably averaged out because of adults being locked in the house and getting on TikTok, right, during the last 12 months. So the average age has probably gone up. But let's just say predominantly the people streaming and setting the trends with music on TikTok are early teens. That's not going
to... Say that again. You got off then.
It's not going to translate into club shows. And I've seen it before in a sense that an artist has been booked for getting 2 million views on a video on GRM, booked for a club show, no one turned up, not a single ticket turned, like,
this
was
sold. The thing, does it guarantee any kind of weight? Like, obviously, Body, for example, it's perfect, isn't it? Like, it's kind of worked for them. And if all the clubs were open, I'm sure that man would be getting PAs coming out of the back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But there's a slight difference there in a sense that Tion Wayne's been about for ages and he's got a very, very good catalogue of club music. And Russ has got his three big hits now. Yep. He's got Gun Lean, he's got Keisha Becky, and he's got Body.
True.
So that's him. That's out the gates with that. Is a sick PA just there. That's a nice little 15 minutes on stage. Turn the club upside down. Couple of wheel ups. Throw some water bottles at everyone. Job done. Like, that's it. 15 minutes. Oh, you're so lucky the lid was on that then.
Bro, imagine my studio would have been finished, but I got a Roadcaster and all my turntables literally right here. I think it's just the fact that they've incorporated this fun element which allows people to engage with a song, maybe if they don't even like it too much. So it kind of opens it up a little bit more, innit? Like, I know people that have done the drill Body thing on TikTok that don't even listen to drill, but it's fun. Like, it brings a different aspect to it. Like, do they even count? Like, does TikTok, they're not counting up how many TikToks, like they do with, because they're incorporating all the other shit together, aren't they?
No, but I think it's promotion. So the same way that TikTok now is what radio plays were in, like, say, the 90s, I think.
Okay.
So this is how I perceive it, is all the TikToks, everyone's doing it for this tune. And so it's making more and more people hear the song, but they're only hearing a clip of it. So what they then do is find it on their streaming sites and add it to their playlists and stream it that way. Do you know what I mean? So that's how the numbers have been racked up. But in the same way, other people then are doing more and more TikToks because they like that song. Yeah, I'll do a TikTok as well. So it's just free promo, basically. It's radio play for the new generation.
It's kind of like the amount of power you put on word of mouth promo, like in, like, I don't know, like in the events world and stuff. Whenever I've done events, I've always found, like, once the streets get hold of it and everyone starts talking about it, you can't buy that shit. Do you know what I mean? I feel like TikTok is kind of like the digital version of that. It just spreads like wildfire amongst that community, and like then you can't nullify it. You can't like dull it down. Do you know what I mean?
It's perfect. It's like it's the digital playground.
Yep.
Do you remember like BBM days or like blue? What was it? Infrared. Did you ever infrared someone on the phone?
Bro, these youths will have no idea, bro. I remember trying to infrared beats back in the day. I might spit a couple bars in the playground.
8 minutes remaining.
Infrared, you know. Wow, man even used to send shit by infrared.
Yeah. And BBM lucky, and all you know, that stuff.
We are lucky, bro. We have seen some dusty times.
They weren't dusty times, they were, bro. They were.
When you look at the way we could... Bro, now you can airdrop and shit, bro. That was dusty.
I was explaining the concept of a VHS video.
Say that again. You was explaining VHS to who? Roman?
Roman, yeah. To my son. To anyone listening that doesn't know who Roman is.
What is this relic you talk of?
Yeah, because for him, bro, he wants to watch your film. He just go on Disney. We've got an Xbox console in the front room. That's how we watch everything, right? So we don't have terrestrial TV in my house. There's never terrestrial TV now. It's just on demand.
Right? So you don't have a you don't have TV?
No, I have it. I have a TV.
Right.
But
it's smart, I can't. Tellies.
Yeah. So like, I don't even if I wanted to, I don't even know how to turn it on to get to BBC One or BBC Two or Channel 3 or Channel 4. Like, I don't even know how to do that on my TV now. It's been that long.
Double is out the league. So, even like Fred Flintstone.
No. So I've got a console. The Xbox One is strapped into the telly. And if I want to watch something, I'll just put on Netflix. Or if, like, going back to my point, Roman will just go on, load up the Disney app, and he can watch, like, Mandalorian whenever he wants. Boom, he'll just start it. And then at the end of the episode, if he wants to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, bro, we got it lucky, bro.
Bro, I remember we used to rent videos from a local corner store who had, it was like an off license.
Blockbuster.
No. This was like just, it was called Carlos. It was just like one guy and he just owned his little shop.
It was called Carlos.
Yeah, well, he was. Bootlegger. Yeah, he was called Carlos. Carlos. Yeah.
The guy said it was called Carlos.
And so his shop was just called Carlos. And he had like, it was an off license. So it was just alcohol. And then he had this other little room, just videos everywhere.
Oh, I remember.
And then, yeah, we just used to rent it. But I remember used to get a bollocking from him if you brought the video back and you hadn't rewound it.
Oh yeah, bro. Because
Cardinal was sick. Do you know how pissed off you'd be if you rented a video and you got it home to watch on like a Friday or a Saturday night or whatever, and then you got it out the box to put in, and the last person hadn't rewound it.
And then it's like the end of the film.
Motherfucker, I've got to put it in, push the button. No, I've got to wait for 5 minutes. That was like the arena.
We're so old, man. We're so old, bro.
Oh, mate.
Like, it's mad. Literally, now you can just literally start again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, man. I don't miss renting videos, but that was like, bro. No. Friday night, going into the video store,
yeah,
and trying to select a video. You know what I mean? Scowling the shelves and that. Like, that was all part of the fun, mate.
Yeah.
Didn't you? I remember teething loads.
Really? Such a little bastard.
Yeah, I was a bit of a naughty kid.
Well, we used to rate Carlos.
Naughty kid, just mischievous.
We would never steal from Carlos because he was all right. And plus, he used to let us. He doesn't have the shop anymore, so I can say this without risking him getting closed down. He used to let us buy cigarettes when we were like 13. We'd go in full school uniform. My voice hasn't even broken yet, and I'm getting a pack of 10 sovereign. And that's it. He's not even asking for ID, bro. He's not even asking. And you know what? Another one is, I remember me and my mate went in and bought, what did we buy? I think it was like a six pack of Stella Artois or something.
Six pack of wife beater.
Yeah. And we wrote a note from his dad saying, just sent the boys up to you to get some beer. And we wrote it and handed it to him and said, yeah, can we just get these? It's for I think his dad. And he was like, yeah, go ahead. It's no problem. Absolute legend.
Good times, man. Good times.
It is good times.
Good times. So, anyway, now we've got that out of the way. This is the Talk Over podcast.
You can tell I've pretty much been by myself all week. I've had no one to talk to. Can you tell?
You're not the only one, mate. We're no friends. Telling you, world's opening back up, man. It's been weird.
So you going back to you saying about doing sets in public? How did you find them?
They've all been different, man.
Mm.
They've all been different. One of them I thought was actually really, really sick. Well, that's only because the venue was letting people get away with murder. So pretty much people were just skanking and doing their thing, but I'm not a fan, G. I'm just gonna say it. Like, I'm not a fan. I think it's absolutely shite, if I'm being completely honest. But listen, I'm just happy to be DJing, to be fair. I'm happy to be DJing, obviously, and just playing music, but it's kind of like, I don't know, man. Like, it's kind of like they give us our job back, but you're only getting like half of it or a quarter of it.
Mm.
It's too much. It's just, there's no vibe, bruv. There's nothing. Try and read a room where no one can stand up.
It's weird because it's like,
try and read a room, bruv, and no one can move. Like, I've got the fucking club looking at me like, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at the dance floor like, nobody can dance here. Nobody can stand up. So no matter what I play, I could be going absolutely ham. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, I was gauging it off like people singing and shit. So I just ended up like playing sing-alongs and trying to get people like involved at the tables. I ended up going down that route, which worked. But yeah, man, I don't know how long I can do that for, bro. I'm not gonna lie. I want people to be able to dance and kind of like stood there, bro. Normally people are dancing and getting involved, and like now everyone's just kind of sat there just.
Yeah. See, I had a booking and it was like, It was all right, but exactly the same thing. And they were very strict on people dancing as well. So, like, it literally was a no dancing policy. And the problem for me is doing the set, it went completely against all of my instincts as a DJ. And the way that I was trying to shape the night in my head was like, shit, I can't do it that way because I can't play any songs they might dance to.
Oh, okay. So, do you know what I mean? Trying so to like, avoid songs that they were going to dance to.
Well, in a sense, yeah, because they weren't allowed to dance. But then it was just weird. But the other thing I found is, and this worked to my detriment, I didn't organize my crates properly.
Got you.
So what I'm doing is I'm now doing a club set off of like 18-month-old club crates.
Got you.
So it felt, for me, it felt a little bit stale. Because it was like I'm drawing for old tunes, and it was only like the new and recent bangers. And obviously, when you're doing that while you're DJing, it's actually quite a difficult thing to do. Is just think up sudden new songs, isn't it? So
yeah, it is. You're right.
It was tricky, man. And I think if I'm honest, I think that one booking I dropped the ball a little bit because it was like I could have done way better. But I just wasn't. I think preparation at this stage is definitely the key. Need to get prepared and get into it again.
Yeah, I think a lot of DJs would have made that mistake going back in. I know I did. Like my first step back, I was like, I semi-sorted my crates to an extent, but I just found myself falling back into the old routine again, only because people are all kind of, the whole sitting down thing, man.
Yeah.
I just don't know, bruv. Like, I did the opposite to you. I was just playing as hard as possible. Me in the end, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna try and give it to them, regardless.
But anthems or sing-alongs or what? Just going in club music.
I started just going ham and treating it like a show set and like dropping rhythms bare quick and that, and just trying to get like just trying to create like an environment in the room. Do you know what I mean? Where people can feel like the DJ is shelling. Like, I don't know, man. I was trying to entertain, but not use a mic. And then, obviously, you don't want them dancing, but I wanted to get it to the point where everybody does want to get up and dance, but they can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So, obviously, that kind of pisses people off a little bit.
That's the thing. But it's such a thin line, isn't it? Because it's like you want them to have a good time, but you don't want it to be so good that they're regretting going out because they can't have a proper time.
I went out on the Friday, the weekend before my first gig back, and just tried to experience it as a punter, one of my friend's birthdays.
That's a good idea, actually.
Bruv, I don't think I'll ever do it again. Like, I don't, we're DJs, obviously, so we see it from a different side, but as a punter, like, going out and, like, having to sit at your table, can't move, can't conversate to anyone, can't bump to the table next to you, can't chat to no girls, can't chat to no guys, like, you can't do, I don't know, man. Obviously, if you just want to vibe out with your friends, that's sick, but you know what DJs are like, bro? We're movers and shakers, man. We're, like, bouncing around the club and that. We like seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
So for me, I was kind of like, you may as well just put me in handcuffs and sit me in the corner. That's literally how it felt. But I think doing that the day before I did my gig and then actually playing the next day just helped me like prepare and figure out how I was going to do it. Mm. So yeah, that was my approach. And I'm just going to try and approach my sets that the same way until people are allowed to dance, I guess. Looking like the 21st is going to hit at the minute.
Oh, mate, it is...
We predicted that too. I swear, I said weeks ago that date wasn't going to hit.
Yeah, possibly. However, I don't think that's official yet. I think it's unofficially official.
It's unofficial, but when officially you've got Rishi unofficial and Boris talking about it, saying that it's not looking good, and Rishi's like, "I'm preparing for up to 4 weeks extension and whatnot." Like, I can tell you now, me. Monday, bruv. Monday, 5 p.m. You watch.
It's interesting how this
numbers the data.
3 week lockdown has turned into 18 months.
and then you watch like the boxing in America over the weekend, and there's 30,000 people in the arena with no mask on, just getting around life normally. Like, where did it all go wrong?
Yeah,
where did it all go wrong? To be fair, like the last couple of days, I'm starting to feel positive again, but. It's like, how you don't want to throw all your eggs in the basket and be like, yeah, we're back, when you know any moment man can just be like, nah, it's not happening, yeah. guys.
Yeah.
So I'm trying not to get too gassed. but yeah, just actually been out DJing and making some money as well, bruv. Like, actually getting a paycheck in that isn't a handout from the government felt great.
So, actually earning the money again.
Yeah, actually earning the money again. So, yeah, man. I don't know, man. Every gig has felt different. Like, I played Ink weekend just gone and the week before, and both times they were completely different.
Right.
So I think it also depends on the crowd still. Like, you can have an active crowd that will be sat down, but they'll make it feel like it's lit.
Yeah, which is
what happened last week. Then this week, it was just more of a flat crowd that weren't really too bothered about like trying to get up and dance or whatever, and were happy to just chill, and it felt a bit flat. So it's like, it can have you questioning yourself as a DJ, but you can't fall into that because that's not what it is. The reality of the situation is the room can't move properly, people can't dance. Like, it does make it harder to read the room and actually put a set together. But I spoke to DJs this week that are like, rah, like questioning their abilities and that. And like, same, like, I think after my first night back, I was like, wow, was that me or was that the venue? Like, because we're not used to this. Was that, did I do a really shit set tonight, or can people not dance? Or
no, I'm exactly the same, brother. After that one that I did, I left. And bear in mind, it went on till 3 a.m. And it's been, I'm not even going to lie, it's been a long time since I've been awake at 3 a.m. sober.
Double.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I was licking down Pro Plus at like 1:30. So,
injecting Red Bull into my eyeballs to make it work. But yeah, it's been a very, very long time since I've been sober and awake at 3 a.m. And I can't lie, bruv, by the end of that, I'm exhausted. Like,
I hear that.
I pulled the car over on the way home to have a nap again, like the good old days.
Bro, it's like match fitness. Like I say, I used this analogy last week. It's like footballers, like you can't be out injured for time and then think you're going to come back in and play 90 sharp minutes. Like, you need 4 or 5 games to get like match fit, get sharp again.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the same for DJs. Exactly the same for DJs. Like, especially after you've been at the game for so long, like struggle doing Twitch and stuff, but Twitch don't prepare you for the clubs. Twitch is kind of like a little DJ's playground where you can play and kind of do what you want in the club. Can't really fully do what you want in the club. No. Like, you can to an extent, but you've got to try and cater and maneuver around a little bit.
Do you think at this stage, where it's all sit-down events and not like a proper turn-up, do you think adopting like a Twitch-style mentality would be a good idea for club sets? Because I thought about it last week. I thought if I was just playing literally how I play my little Twitch sets and just playing shit that I wanted, but like obviously stuff that would work in the clubs, because there's a couple of tunes I've played that would never ever fit in a club.
Well, you'd be playing shit that the kids weren't even born, like when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
That's something. I guess it depends on the crowd, bruv. Like, if you're playing to a student-y crowd, you can't.
It won't work.
You can't do the Twitch approach. No way. Like, that's more of a grown folk vibe, in my opinion. Like, the kids, they want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear it now. They want to hear all the current shit. Like,
yeah.
One of my first sets back, I think I was like playing new shit. I was thinking, yeah, I'm gonna be able to play some new shit, and I got all gassed in my head before the set, thinking I'm gonna be able to give them all this new shit. It's gonna be dope, bruv. Like, they're all nosediving, bro.
Mm.
And then I found like the classics and the older rhythm were still shelling. Like, Burner Boy's new joint, absolute nosediver, bro.
Really? What, Kilometer?
Absolutely, yeah, killer rave.
Killer dance floor.
Killer man dead. Bro, honestly, like, I think there was even a debate going around online this week amongst a few DJs about playing. I think people were complaining, saying, oh, when you go back to the clubs, I don't want to hear Drogba and If anymore. Like, update your fucking crates or some shit. Like, and there was like a big dispute about it online. I'm going to find a tweet a couple of days later when DJs had been back and played. Everyone was like, bruv, Drogba and If and all them records, they still absolutely go off. Like, not every day new music doesn't always win in the club. Like, Kilometer to us, we're DJs, we know how to embrace a song when, as soon as we hear it. The normal listener, raver, they need to be told what they enjoy most times. Like, not many people hear a song in the club and just decide for themselves this is a fucking banger. Like, they need hence why songs, when we play them early before the radio get hold of them, no one dances to them. They blow. 3 months later, the same person who was looking at you like you was a waste man in the dance is now prancing around in front of the booth like it's the best song.
Well, I've told you before about when I played One Dance for the first time, innit? Yeah, I introduced it on the mic and said, brand new Drake, featuring a UK artist. This one's going to be massive. Played it. Everybody left the club.
I wonder why this is. Like, obviously, not everyone is fully musically inclined, innit? So, but you know when something sounds good? Like, my wife is not a DJ. She's not, like, come up with no sick musical background or whatever. Obviously, we've been living together for time, so probably rubbed off on her a little bit. But she can make a decision when she thinks a song is hard.
Yeah.
Like, some people need to be told what's good music, which is okay. That's fine, because not everyone's a musical expert, but I don't know, man.
Generally, I know whether I think a song's good within about the first 15 or 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And if I'm not feeling it after 20 seconds, zoop, gone, on to the next one.
I feel like when you've been DJing for as long as we have, I'm like, because we're not just normal DJs, like, we're like tastemakers and we champion new music, like, we're plugged in differently when it comes to music, so.
Yeah.
It literally is like a 15-second test. That's all you're getting, bro. Like, that's and that's brutal. But if you don't get me in the first 15, 20 seconds, it's probably never going to get played again.
Yeah.
Which is really, like, I don't know whether that's bad, but there's so much music now. Like, you've got to be grabbing people. That's why I was saying, make 100%. Sure you hit knocks, man. Like, you've got to be able to grab people's ears quick.
Yeah. And I'm not always right with it either. There's songs that I've binned off that have turned into huge records.
Yeah, but I know we've had conversations and you've done this. I need to try to remember some specifics and you've crossed the life out of it. And I was like, nah, bang it out, bruv.
Very specifically, I remember Soulja Boy, Crank That.
What an example.
Back in the LimeWire days. Back in the LimeWire days, when there was like an unmastered, I don't even know how he recorded it, but it was all distorted and everything.
Yep.
The track that went, like, I think that was, just to add to the Soulja Boy memes, that's probably the first viral track.
I think it was, wasn't it?
I think so.
Sure Soulja Boy started all that stuff.
I think so. But yeah, I remember hearing it and thinking, this is fucking trash. I am never playing this again in my life. And sure enough, however long later, it was one of the biggest songs. There you go. It had a dance move to it as well. Soulja Boy's not... Soulja Boy, he's ahead of the curve, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying. Soulja Boy was ahead of the game, bruv. Like,
yeah.
Like, all that dance shit, obviously it has been going on. Like, it's just been lifted to a different level because of TikTok. But
social media.
Oh, man, even going back to, like, fucking Saturday Night, Wigfield and that back in the day, they were doing stupid-ass dances back then. You know what I mean? I don't even know what the dance was, but, like, Macarena and all them dodgy joints. Like, it's been going on for time. But I was trying to find this tweet where... there was like a big dispute going on Twitter about bullying DJs for playing the certified hits. What is it? Let me.
Bullying DJs.
People are yelling at DJs to retire songs that are still proven to work. And it was over a woman made a comment about DJs not updating their Afrobeat crates and to make sure, like, when you go back to the club, they don't want to hear Joanna and If anymore. Like, basically, to update your shit.
Bruv, if she's not even a DJ, who the fuck is she to say what can and what can't be played? That's dead.
I know. Well, it started a big dispute amongst DJs anyway. And And it's and it was super relatable, to be fair, because the first night back, I did this. I tried to run off some new joints.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, new shit, man. Like, I'm ready to go. I've sorted all my crates out. I've got all my new Afrobeat in there. Bro, after like 2-3 new Afrobeat records, I just realized so quick, none of this ain't going to work, mate. and the Drogbas and the Ifs and the old WizKid joints or whatever are still the joints that are knocking in the clubs, bro. They are.
Yeah.
And like the new stuff, you got to kind of just
sandwich it.
We all thought we was going to go back and be able to run all these songs over the past year that haven't hit the clubs yet. And yeah, you can get some of them in there, but it's like the world stopped and people still want to hear the same shit we were playing before.
Yeah.
Obviously it's our duty to play new stuff and I'm still trying to like get stuff in there, but in the right way. Like, I can't just... I went in there scratching up Kilometer and that doo-doo-doo-doo-doo going ham, and everyone's like, what's this guy doing? What is this guy doing? Someone put... I played Joanna and If last night. Biggest reaction. I played Essence and Kilometer. Nope.
Essence. Actually, I broke my fundamental rule when I did my Friday night because I played Essence in the warm-up. When there was only just a few people there, it wasn't very busy. I mean, to be honest, it wasn't very busy the whole night, but I played Essence in the warm-up and I could see the barmaids vibing to it, the people that were there singing along. Then halfway through the night, someone actually came and requested it.
Okay.
So I was like, fuck it, it's not that busy. We can't dance, I'm playing it again. And then I think I played it 2 more times that night. So I actually played that song 4 times that night, which breaks one of my most important rules, as in once a song's been played, it's done.
I feel like it's getting a well better reaction down there because Essence is the couple of times I've played it up here, it's
ooh, it's such a vibey song.
Oh, it's one of the best songs made in the last fucking 10 years, bro. Like the musically, that song is on a different planet, but it's just not hitting. It's not hitting up here, man.
Mm.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it when I played it and nobody was dancing at the table.
Yeah. Essence is a vibage. You know, the one that I think didn't hit as hard as it should have done. I played it in Southampton and it went off, but when I played it the other night, it didn't have any impact whatsoever. Twist and Turn.
Yeah, Popcorn
and Drake.
Yeah,
that is a slapper of a tune. That's one of my favourite songs. I could let that run for the whole 3 minutes in the club. It's one of my favourite songs for the last year.
Yeah, you can't cut off Poppy's verse.
Not at all.
You know. Yeah. Anyway, new music. My point was, it's not winning right now in the clubs. It's not.
I think it's all about balance because there's a drill tune. There's a drill tune that I've found and it's a fucking banger, bruv. It's so good. And the guy during the song speaks Yoruba. I think it's Yoruba. I think that's how you pronounce it. I can never get it right. In the chorus of the song. And it's just absolutely slaps. But it's not a big song by any means. It's still underground, but I think it's fucking sick. And I will rinse the hell out of this song and I'm determined to make it a big song through my club sets.
Interesting.
So when you find new music that you really are like, yeah, that's the one, you've got to just champion it and just push it, even if they're not with it.
I hear that. The only thing is like right now, it stands out way more when you try and do it because everyone's just sat there looking at you. So it's like you can't just discreetly try and slide shit in or do stuff a certain way. Yeah. I was under pressure for my spot, one of my spots, to just go ham.
Right.
Like they wanted a proper clubby atmosphere, but they don't want anybody dancing. So it's kind of like sat in the middle, like I'm there going ham. And everyone's just kind of sat there, but I'm going ham.
Yeah.
Like... I don't know, bruv. I really don't know. This is new to all of us, isn't it? We're figuring it out. I've actually got my busiest week since March 2020. 19? 20? I don't even know what year it is anymore. But yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of gigs this weekend and I'm feeling overwhelmed thinking about it, bruv, because I ain't DJed this much in time.
18 months. Yeah, I've got my busiest week in a year. I've got one booking.
This guy. this guy. That's all I've been doing for the last couple of weeks, and I'm seeing dudes who've like it's sick. Like, I'm glad everyone's out DJing. I'm like, but where's all this work coming from? We don't even have that many venues to even house DJs here.
Yeah.
Seeing dudes with like 9 bookings in 4 days and that, and bloody, yeah. London's got some great venues, man. I feel like everybody in London is kind of bouncing around and doing lots of work.
Yeah, but I'm hearing lots of story of not very much money in London for DJs.
I'm hearing like the rooftop gigs. I'm hearing 6 hours like, for 50 quid and that.
Yeah, this is what I'm hearing. But I'm hearing like 60, 80 pound fees for long sets.
I've never been booked in London, man. So like, I don't know. London is the only place in England where I've not DJed.
In my humble opinion, it's the most overrated place to DJ.
Is it?
Okay. London. Right, yeah. Okay. With that said, I haven't DJed there for a few years, but it's just, I don't know. My experience of London just wasn't amazing. I prefer London's the least favorite place for me to DJ, to be honest. Club sets,
first,
anyway.
First. It does sound very scatty, man. When I see all my London homies bouncing around and I'm seeing five sets in the night, hour each, jumping, traveling across London, like I've never been the kind of guy that wants to do two sets in the night anyway.
No.
I've done it a couple of times, but you can't enjoy it.
It's too much stress, man.
Yeah,
like
stress, man.
And those events as well. This in like a while ago, I used to be on those lineups where there was like 15 DJs. And the problem is, if the DJ before you turns up late, which they always do because that just seems to be the way, they still want to do their 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Well, hang on, you are half an hour late, bro, and now you're cutting into my set time by half an hour. That ain't happening. That ain't happy. I actually got into a row once with quite a well-known DJ about this. I told him to do one, and then he walked out and tried to get someone bigger, but it wasn't happening, mate. I'm not moving. And it's just, yeah, I just don't like that mentality.
That
environment, I should say, not mentality. I don't like that environment where it's like 500 DJs. Here's your set time. If you're late, you're still doing 45 minutes.
It just becomes a giant ego test. Like, no one's like really looking out for each other's sets or whatever. Like, when we used to do a lineup of DJs at Jam, we'd make sure everyone was homies and we'd all prep each other up, man. Like we'd make sure the night ran. Like, you can't. In my experience over the years, them nights always nosedive because every DJ just ends up being fully about themselves and like not really about like the duration of the night, which can just kill an event.
Exactly.
If the first 2-3 hours of the night aren't right, then the other half of the night is over, in my opinion.
Yeah. And what used to happen in those times was you would just get the same set. After about midnight, you'd get the same hour-long set.
Oh.
No matter who came on next, they're just playing the same songs and the same song. Like, it's long. Dead.
Same song, different order.
But, yeah, other places I've played have been amazing. It's been a while, but London's not a favourite of mine. What I wanted to say about everything opening up, we mentioned Twitch earlier and doing like Twitch sets kind of in this half club environment. Do you feel like there's been like a reduction in activity on Twitch?
Yeah, 100%, man.
Less people involved.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I've definitely fell back on it, which is mad because, well, people that listen to the pod, I've been shouting about it, like, yeah, I'm definitely going to do Twitch and life goes back to normal, blah, blah, blah. But like, the reality is, we got to get that work, bro. Like, I've been spending way more time doing like editing and working on my other like side hustle away from DJing, which has not allowed me to stream nowhere near as much.
Right.
And just, I feel like the couple of times that I did do it, not as many people are checking for it. Like, there was obviously the influx of people that headed over to Twitch. But the world's opening back up, man, and people are starting to do normal things again. Like,
yeah.
Even when I've checked my homie streams and I'm still tapping in and out of Twitch here and there, like, I'm still trying to be on there. you can see like people's numbers have definitely like dropped off a little bit. But for me, yeah, the people that have jumped in at the start, I reckon will have the longevity. I reckon the ones that put that early graft in from right at the start of lockdown and have built that consistent base.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably won't go anywhere. But for people like us and like a couple of the other DJs that we know that have just kind of been jumping in and out and maybe not really built a super sick following, but we're semi-consistent. Like, I think it could just tip back down the other way, innit? I feel like with Twitch, you've got to push, and then fall over the other side of the hill. For us, I was pushing. I've not gone over the other side, so I'm probably just going to go back down the other way again.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you've got to get over that hurdle to get into, like, I don't know.
100%. I think, you know what, the people who have made it their main focus seem to be the ones that are winning. And they're the ones, like you said, the ones that are consistently on it almost every day or have like a very, very regular schedule. Someone like Annabelle, for example, we've mentioned off air before, we've had a conversation about her. Like, she's so on it. And literally, yeah, like, yeah, ever since she got onto Twitch, that's all I've seen from her is like Twitch, built her a computer, Twitch, you know what I mean? Just constantly on Twitch.
Yeah, it definitely needs to be a
smashing it. Like, but see, with me, obviously we've got the podcast.
You got a family, bruv.
Yeah, right. I'm not even talking about the real life stuff. I'm talking about work. I've got the podcast, got the YouTube channel. I've got the stuff that I'm doing with Vlad. I'm trying to be a bit consistent with the Mixcloud mixes as well, just to fling them out. Do you know what I mean? Then trying to do Twitch as well. Like, it's all just a bit mad. Like,
I
trying
found myself
to
getting
do
overwhelmed,
it all.
I'm trying to balance too many, like you just said. Like,
yeah.
I was doing so much. I wasn't really nailing in on the one or two things that I really enjoyed because I was just doing too much. And I was I need to nail this in now. For when the world opens back up, I can't just be all over the place like that. Like, obviously, you'll say multiple incomes, whatever. I get all that. But sometimes when you're just pulling yourself in 100 different directions, you're diluting everything because you're doing too much.
Yeah, massively.
Like, I need to just hone in. And as much as I love Twitch, for me, it was more about, like, the video stuff is really taking off on the side. So it's like, that's my out when DJing is over. Like, that's where I want to go. Like, I want to do music video production and directing and all that kind of stuff. That's hopefully going to be the route. So I'll just like, Twitch, as much as I love you, I'll just keep up my DJ content on my socials instead and still jump in and do. I was thinking to just do like maybe one a week and just make that like a one big weekly show, maybe just to keep it tapped in and just use that as my output. But it's tough, man. It's tough. And we'll never know until everything's back to normal and we're all working again.
Yeah.
What is really going to happen with Twitch? And then now you've got the copyright police are on the case again. And
yeah. Oh, mate, did you Mixcloud's post about Twitch?
We've got to talk about this because.
Oh my word!
Yeah, bro. Do you know what? Yeah, like, I got to be honest. Right, this whole thing left the, like, I have been an advocate and champion guy of Mixcloud forever.
Yeah.
So like, this was mad disappointing, bro.
Yeah.
This left us like an absolutely sour taste in my mouth, right? So I found the tweets. So for the listeners that don't know what's going on, Mixcloud don't like Twitch.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, bruv. So check this, right? What does it say? Oh, there's quite a few tweets actually.
What about Twitch?
Yeah. So initially, this is what I seen. Another day, another Twitch fiasco. Today, a set of DMCA takedowns were issued to Twitch streamers. As a streaming service built for music, we have some thoughts.
So this is tweeted from the official Mixcloud account.
From the official verified Mixcloud account. Their statement warns, we've received a batch of DMCA takedown notifications with about 1,000 individual claims from music publishers, and they are disappointed that this is happening at the end of port. But what did you think would happen? ? So they're just mocking Twitch, basically. Paying songwriters for their work should be at the heart of building a streaming service, not an afterthought. That's fair. They also explain that the only way to protect yourself from DMCA notifications is to not stream music, which is clearly not an option for DJs. Twitch does not care about music creators. Mad. What's more, Twitch is owned by Amazon. They have the resources to pay musicians and songwriters, but choose not to. Instead, they ask you, the streamer, to carry all the risk and liability for music copyright infringement. When takedown strike, it's your work that gets erased. Nothing happens to Twitch or Amazon. Right. Artists, songwriters, and streamers crushed by a $1.6 trillion dollar corporation while the business remains intact and thriving. Sounds like a tale as old as time. Fiasco after fiasco, it's clear that Twitch does not take our community seriously. It is absurd that Amazon is actively paying DJs to stream on Twitch while simultaneously telling all streamers not to use music. So the takedowns will keep coming. If you care about building a sustainable future for music and streaming, Twitch is not it. That's what it said, right?
Yeah, that's slightly more reasonable than my first impression. Because I just saw the initial post that they put up cussing Twitch.
Yeah, because they posted something else after that.
Right.
So after all them initial tweets, the replies were awful, by the way. They then made that a paid promo on Instagram.
Right, read it out so for people that are listening.
Twitch do not care about music creators.
This is the sponsored ad that I saw from Mixcloud.
That came up as a sponsored post on my story. So
yeah,
these guys are sending out targeted promo, pulling down Twitch to gain traction on their own platform. Right. So my view was, as good as Mixcloud is, yeah, something is not clicking with Mixcloud in the streaming world. It's not. Like, it's semi-flawed, like, otherwise they'd be flying, right? So it's all good having all the rights in place and whatnot, but something does not click on the streaming front.
Yeah, I agree.
Number two, Twitch is monetizable pretty much instantly. I get the whole artist thing, like, artists getting paid and all that. I fully get that, but this has been a time when DJs haven't been making money for 18 months. So if there's a chance that you can go on a platform and be paid for it, bear in mind InstaLive, Mixcloud, or whatever. Bear in mind Mixcloud, you have to pay to stream on there.
That's the thing. Mixcloud charge you to have the profiles on there as well, don't you?
You have to charge. And then also, focus on making your own platform better, man. Don't go out there and cuss the life out of Twitch because you're wounded that everybody's going over there. That's like being in the playground. Yeah, everyone wants to go and play with the cool kids over there, even though these guys have got the right laws in place, but it ain't a vibe. They want to go where the vibe is. The vibe is on Twitch. The community aspect is on Twitch. DJs can get paid on Twitch. Like, the user interface on Twitch is better than Mixcloud.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was just like all that energy in pulling down Twitch is just going to leave a bad taste in people's mouths, which it did, because I read through some of the replies and they were getting, I thought they might have took the post down, to be fair.
The thing about it for me is, yeah, first of all, it's like Mixcloud charge DJs to have the pro profiles.
Year, man.
Yeah. And especially in a time, I know they did like, I think they did like 3 months free at the start, which I signed up for, but then I just wasn't seeing, I wasn't seeing the benefits. I wasn't getting numbers, nothing, like, had a couple of subscribers, but nothing huge on the Mixcloud select thing. And it just, for me, hasn't taken off. So I just decided not to renew and not to do the paid one. And it hasn't made any difference. My numbers haven't gone down. They've just stayed consistently low. Like, at the same level, like a few hundred streams per mix. You know what I mean? Nothing groundbreaking at all, which is why I just do a mix that I feel like mixing and just fling it up there. Not really do any promo. Just there you go. It's just there. The people that know. The people that don't might find it, might not.
That's pretty much what happened over here, bruv. Like, same as you. Like, I just got to the point where I was like, just throwing mixes up for the sake of it. And like, who was really... I still get this thing now, like, oh, you're on SoundCloud? No, I'm on Mixcloud. What's Mixcloud?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like if they just put bare more focus into improving their own platform, marketing it better, reaching more of the community instead of trying to knock Twitch down a couple of players. Because at the end of the day, it is owned by Amazon. And the reality is, if they wanted to blow Mixcloud out the water and do a madness, they could do it.
Mate, they could buy Mixcloud a million times.
They could buy Mixcloud with all them licenses, fuse it with Twitch and Amazon, and make it and go clear.
Twitch Cloud.
I love Mixcloud, bruv, but I just feel like the streaming thing was not the is not.
But here's the thing.
It's not the answer in their current format and their current layout. Just my personal opinion, it just don't sit. It just doesn't sit right.
What they would benefit from doing, in my opinion, is looking at Twitch, how Twitch's interface, dashboard, and everything works, cutting off the fatty bits around the edge that are just there for gamers, and looking at the best bits for DJs, copying it, and using it for their platform, basically. So having the comment section, all the bits, all the custom emojis or emotes or whatever they're called on Twitch and all this stuff, like, basically just doing it, because we've got Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Yeah. The two can coexist. Do you know what I mean? And with stuff like Restream, you could stream on both.
I feel like Mixcloud, if they played the cards right and just did a few little sidesteps and a few little maneuvers, they could dominate the whole thing. But yeah. I feel like there's obviously some technical complications behind the scenes that's not allowing them to. I don't know, but I feel like something is holding them back from really just going for it. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe, you know what I mean, it's been a long year, mate. I don't know, but I feel like a couple of little, you know what they say, but when something ain't working, like, pivot, man, move stuff, try something, step to the right, know what I mean? Change some stuff around, and they're not, like, I feel like they're happy with their current, like, layout and the way they're doing things, but if I can't go live on Mixcloud, man, like, it's just, it's no community aspect on it.
No.
Like, it's not the vibe. Like, Twitch is, I get the licensing thing. I fully get their approach on that side. Yeah, I get it. I get that. But don't openly go and cuss it out. Although, like, you're basically just giving Twitch free promo there anyway.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's just, it's weird to me that that's where they would put their energy and that's where they would sponsor a post saying Twitch doesn't care. Like, I don't care if Twitch doesn't care
they're
about
paying
me.
To tell like, people, they're paying to, yeah, out of their own money to talk about Twitch on an advert.
I know,
that's,
it's
like me
weird.
Doing a promoted ad tomorrow about don't go to that event over there.
Yeah. Even a better tactic. Yeah. Let's just for example, let's just say they put £1,000 on that sponsored post to make sure it got out there. Why instead wouldn't they just contact all the DJs and say, we have a sponsored feature. Here's a voucher to sponsor your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And use that. Do you know what I mean? Because then it shows, okay, if I sponsor a post, then it's going to get a bigger reach, more plays. I might be more inclined to sponsor a post again in the future. But instead, what their message says to me is, we're struggling. We're not sure how to not struggle. Twitch is dominating everything. We're not happy about it. It doesn't make me want to run over and be like, oh, okay, well, I'll just stream live on Twitch then. On Mixcloud, sorry. Doesn't.
Anyone that's been in the game like, and been around the block, I tweeted about it a couple of times and a few big DJs that hold a bit of weight in the game like replied. And we're like, it's just left a sour taste, man. Like that approach was just a bit.
Yeah.
It was just wrong. Like, and Mixcloud doesn't have like, it doesn't have no, like the viewer base is low. So like on Twitch, you can randomly pick up streamers. You can tag your stream and like new people are coming. Like I ended up with randoms from all over the world. Like just popping
out.
Yeah,
same.
Like Canada, Africa, Brazil, like random peoples. And it's like, but then Mixcloud doesn't have the viewer base. But they want you to go over and stream over there and they want you to pay. Like, there's low interaction. There's no monetization. Like, it's kind of when you weigh up the pros and the cons. Like, it's
there's,
all good.
It's
like,
not even
like,
a way. Sorry to cut you. I was going to say, there's not even a way if I finish a stream to jump into the stylus stream.
Mm-hmm.
like do a raid. You can't do that on Mixcloud. And this is what I'm saying.
That's another thing. Like even just the raid and the way you can build. Twitch is heavily community, like the community aspect of it is so heavy. Like that is massively important on there. Like if you go on there and you're not trying to be part of the community, you won't win.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's what it is. So it's
they really do need to just copy Twitch's format because it works. And as bad as it sounds, me saying copy it, I'm saying it from a business point of view, in a sense that watch what Instagram did with stories. Mm-hmm. They nearly wiped Snapchat off the grid, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
When they did stories.
And now they're doing Reels to compete with.
And now Reels to compete TikTok. With TikTok. Like, exactly, bro. Like someone else does something more efficient, then look at how they're doing it and bring it into your business model. Yeah. Like, that's just the nature of it, bro.
And it's just basic compared to Twitch, that's all. Like, it's, I know they're new to it and Twitch is fully built on streaming, so they're obviously ahead of the game. You've just had a year and a half of nobody doing anything to get your house in order.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to come out the back of this cussing Twitch, not looking very good.
Yeah.
When in reality, you could have used all this time. Them guys would have got mass investment, I'm sure, like from the grants and whatever else was getting given out for businesses.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
the
technical details of it, but it's a big business with a big office in London. Like they would have got.
There was loads of creative grants. I think like Boiler Room got like 800,000 or something.
That's what I'm saying. And like for a company like Mixcloud, like you can pitch, I bet they could have pitched for some amazing grants that might have allowed them to open it up a little bit.
100%.
But then I get like Twitch is a multi billion pound company and Mixcloud obviously isn't. So then there's a difference in the financial situations of them.
In that case, they're not even competition. So why are you whinging?
Exactly. Because right. I think they feel they can steal a slice of that pie.
That's what Twitch did. Twitch stepped up and stole the live streaming aspect from Mixcloud.
It was already there though, even before lockdown hit. DJs were already streaming on Twitch. It just wasn't out there in the public domain for everybody to see.
Yeah,
kind of a thing that was happening.
I think Complexion was doing. He's been doing it for years on there, hasn't he?
Yeah, Complexion's been there from the start. Yeah, man.
Was Volatile doing his Twitch?
He started in lockdown, when I first started, and then I give up after a couple because of the. Yeah, I just didn't give it the chance, which is wounding. But yeah, they never stopped.
Right,
that was like April last year. So yeah, but I feel like all the people that have been doing it consistently since then are doing really well and have got sick fan bases.
Yeah,
or you could be like Silk, where you just bang on there straight away. Do you know what I mean? Like some people have just got it like that.
Yeah, well, Silk, we've spoken about this before. Silk did it very cleverly, the way that he transferred everything over from Instagram Live. I thought it was smart. It was a good move.
I'm just reading through some of the replies on the thread from Mixcloud.
I can't think anyone would be like...
Someone here that's backing Mixcloud, because I feel like I've been cussing Mixcloud quite a lot. So let's say something that actually backs their corner. as DJs, we need to stop. This is from DJ Nines. Who is from Rally NC. I don't even know where that is. That's obviously some American state. As DJs, we need to stop hating on Mixcloud and realize that relying on any one platform to be our savior for success is a bad way to approach business. I love Twitch, but here is the deal. DJs not Twitch features make the scene on Twitch, but it is. What?
Say it again.
It doesn't make sense, the end of his sentence. I love Twitch, but here is the deal. DJs, not Twitch features, made the scene on Twitch what it is.
DJs made the scene what it is, not Twitch features.
That's what it's saying. As DJs, we make this crucial mistake too much. We rely on one relationship to a promoter or the club or now platform to carry our careers. When the truth remains, we carry our own careers. Every DJ I consider a GOAT multi-streams, and I don't think that's an accident. So stop putting so much stock in these platforms. They are tools, not our saviours. Mixcloud has made plenty of improvements and is worth at least multi-streaming on. Diversification is the only way any modern DJ survives the next decade. I hear that. I'm like, this is where we've been come unstuck over the years. when you throw your eggs in one basket and get shafted, like SoundCloud, for example.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That was the only place. Built it up to a couple million plays and all that, and then literally...
See ya.
Wiped off the face of the earth, bruv. So, like, they're right to an extent. Like, you can't put all your eggs in one basket, man. Mm. And Twitch will get to that point where they're going to be asked that question. Are we getting the licensing? Are we locking everything in, or are we locking DJs off? Like, because that's what it's going to get to eventually. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. But yeah, there's my 2 pence in there for you, mate. I'm a bit of that. Mixed Cloud, yeah. Still love you. Still love you, but it's not a good look.
I think, yeah, just
publicly. So yeah, just letting you know.
Instead of cussing everywhere else as your social media plan, work inside, innit? Clean up, like you said, get your house in order. If you've got Mixcloud app, the Mixcloud app is buggy.
Yep.
Whenever I need to navigate the app, I have to push buttons 2 or 3 times to make them work.
Like, which, to be fair, like, it's quite basic, the app as well, so it shouldn't really be that buggy. Like, you go on Twitch and there's all sorts going on, but there ain't no bugs.
No, it's flawless. And again, it comes down to the fact that they've got probably a huge, huge technical team working behind the scenes, because it's a massive multi million pound platform.
Maybe we're being a little bit unfair, man. Maybe we're being a little bit unfair. Like, I've been to Mixcloud HQ. Like, I know the setup. I know what's there. And I'm sure Twitch is probably times 50.
Yeah, yeah.
That setup is. Like, I can only imagine. So it is a little bit unfair, but maybe...
No, but what we're saying, we're not debating whether the two are comparable or whether the two should be competing. What we're debating is, should a platform like Mixcloud be openly cussing Twitch on their socials and doing sponsored posts shooting down another platform? And that's not the energy. That's not like...
It's not the energy at all. I get doing a couple of tweets and maybe testing the water, and like, they've not took the tweets down, so they were obviously trying to stir up a little bit of like, you know what it's like this day and age, bro? Like, that kind of stuff brings promo. Like, be a bit outlandish, throw some stuff out there.
Yeah.
But actually promoting a picture that basically says Twitch is shit, don't go over there. Like, that's pretty much what it said, right? Come on.
Basically, like,
it's a bit peak, but yeah. But I guess we'll just see what happens with the whole streaming thing going forward, man. Like, I know I'm sure a lot of people will stick it out. I wish I was in the position to keep doing it, but I've got to make some financial decisions.
I'm gonna keep doing it. I think I'm gonna stick to one show a week. The proper vibes thing that I was doing. I deliberately put it on a Thursday night, which, to be fair, I haven't streamed in a month because I have actually been busy on Thursday nights with like paid work and shit like that.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Paid work.
But I do want to just kind of keep my little Thursday evening proper vibes there, because I enjoy it so much. Do you know what I mean? Like, just digging and finding just sick little songs that I can just sing my heart out to. I enjoy it. And it's shit that I would do at home anyway. So
that's the key. Like, I feel like if it gets to the point where, for me, it started feeling a bit chorey.
Right.
Like,
you went ham, though. You were going loads.
I did, because I know that's what it takes to get to really make a move on there. Like, you have to be consistent and going ham. And I was just like, have I got the heart to really do this in the long run this much? Mm. I don't. It's like what they say to gamblers, isn't it? When the fun stops, stop.
And like,
a couple of the streams, it kind of felt like that. So it's like, I don't want it to feel like that. That's not that. It's not why I'm on Twitch. I'm on Twitch because I want to just vibe and play what I want to play. And then, I don't know, man. Like, a couple of them was like, I just wasn't feeling it like I was feeling it initially. I was like, let me just pull away from it for a second, and see what's going on. Like, and yeah, it's, I guess if I can just find one spot where I can just come in and just vibe it, like you just said, and give it the right home.
Yeah.
But to really pop, you got to be active, man. And I think I made that decision. Like, I am not going to be on there 3, 4, 5 times a week, bare hours. Like, because the reality is, I just can't, even if I wanted to, basically. Like, that's the reality of the situation. So, yeah. See what the future holds, mate. But big up all the Twitches, though, because man, they're going ham on there.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think there is there is going to be, I don't think an exodus is the right term, but I do think a lot of people that are not really hitting numbers that they expected to hit, or the ones that signed up for Friday and Saturday night regular streams, but now are going to be getting to the clubs. I think they're the people that are going to just stream less and less and less, and eventually just not bother going back to it.
The weekend stuff, like, I never really gravitated towards that anyway, because I was like, it's just messy on the weekends. Well, on it. I was like, I just thought I end up doing the midweek stuff, but now I've landed residencies on the night, the two nights where I stream. So it's like, straight away, I can't stream on them days anyway.
You'd be good to do daytime streams, though. I swear at some point you were doing a breakfast show, weren't you?
Yeah, I was doing the breakfast, and I did want to start that up. Like, bruv, do you know what? Yeah, I love radio, innit? I like talking and playing music. So it's like, if I can find a place to build just a weekly show on there, I'll probably just stick with that. Like,
yeah,
it's broadcasting where my passion is. Obviously, I'm DJing too, but I like talking and playing new music, man. So, wow, that's, my eye is absolutely spazzing then. You see that? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. See what I'll go on. Anyway, what else has been going on, man? What else? Do we need to talk about anything else?
Precisely nothing, actually. I think I'm just...
Literally, nothing's been going on, bro.
I'm looking around the studio. Nothing's changed in the last 2 weeks. And this is where I spent most of my time.
Has anything changed in the last couple of weeks? Not really. We're all waiting for this 21st of June.
Which is now the 21st of June, 2042.
Yeah. It's not looking too good for the date, but we'll keep our fingers crossed, man.
Yeah.
I think on Monday we'll probably find out our fate in it. So
we shall see. New episode pending. But yeah, I think, As much of an anticlimax as that is to end the podcast on, I think we've finished talking. There's nothing else to talk about. That's the first time that's ever happened.
No, we could talk about wages.
Wages. Yeah, but that's a whole episode.
Yeah, that is a whole episode, but I feel like that's one we definitely need to get to at some point. I've been having the conversation with quite a few DJs that have been asking about rates and go up, go down. Are you taking a cut here, there?
Next week, let's have the conversation about DJ wages.
I feel like now, bro, as well, we need to sort this talk over link up, man.
Yes, but let's not talk about that on air because someone else will jump on and do it.
They ain't going to jump on and do it because we'll beat them up.
However, I was looking into it this last week. We have the biggest DJ podcast in the country, in the UK.
I've seen your post. Oh, shit. Of course, something's happened. It was Double's birthday. Say happy birthday.
Da-na-na-na.
Yo, it's Rubber Nights.
Hey, yo, turn the fuck up. Hey, yo, fuck sparklers. I want to see flamethrowers in this motherfucker.
There's loads. That was every sound effect ever made. And I think I heard Puff Daddy sat just aggressively telling me not to light a sparkler or something. Shut the fuck up. Don't light that fucking sparkler or whatever he said.
Exactly, because that's what they be doing in clubs these days. We don't do that over here.
We don't do that over here, cuz.
Happy birthday, mate.
Thanks, dude. It's 24. My 24th birthday. Feels good. My 24th year.
Let me have a sip of my tea.
The tumbleweed.
What was I going to say? I was just about to say something before we leave. What was I going to say? I was going to say something. No. Yeah, we'll talk about that off air anyway in a second.
Yes. Sick. Hashtag TalkOverPodClart at TalkOverPod on Twitter and Insta. And you can listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Hashtag slag.
Hashtag, ya bitch. Peace.